Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today is our annual Homeland Security Emergency Management Show, where we see how our government agencies work together to be prepared for emergencies, and we get an update from the Minnesota National Guard Senior Enlisted Advisor. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
When people think about the military, they often think of service members deployed overseas. What is unique about the National Guard is our additional role at home. During Super Bowl 52, more than 450 soldiers and airmen supported security operations and law enforcement agencies. In 2017, more than 110 soldiers and airmen were activated to Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands to aid in hurricane relief efforts. In June of 2017, the Minnesota National Guard supported the Minnesota State Patrol in locating three missing paddlers in the Boundary Waters canoe area. And in December 2017, our soldiers opened armories in several communities to shelter people during extreme cold weather. With a force of more than 13,000 strong, we are proud to serve the great state of Minnesota and our nation.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to Minnesota Military Radio. As I said earlier, this is our annual show with the Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, where we check out and find out how all of the agencies around the state have been planning and preparing for emergencies for years and years. And we have a special co-host every year when we do this show. And my co-host is retired Brigadier General Joe Kelly. General, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back. It's hard to believe that another year has gone by already. But thanks for the opportunity to share information with your listening audience.
Well, and sir, it's going to be kind of an important show because we had a record-setting February with snow, and that's probably going to cause us some trouble. But before we get to that, you spent quite a few years in the military. How many? And you ended your career as a one-star Brigadier General.
I did. I had a great career in the Army, Tom, and it was just under 31 years. Started out in the field artillery out in west central Minnesota, and then later became a tanker up on the Iron Range, and then spent quite a bit of time, of course, at the state headquarters. So 30 plus years. It was a great run, and I had the privilege of serving with a lot of great soldiers and airmen over the years. And I got to be honest, I miss it. I'm not going to necessarily miss all the things about serving, but I sure miss the people.
Well, sir, all that experience set you up well when you ended up taking the job as the director of Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. Go back to Camp Ripley. You've got an office up there. You've got an emergency center over in St. Paul. Can you tell our listeners what does that job entail, being director of Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management?
Well, I do. It's funny. I do spend a lot of time at Camp Ripley. I wasn't sure I'd ever go back there, but we are there a lot because it is one of our training centers. But our organization's mission, and we are part of the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, but our mission is to help Minnesota prepare for, respond to, and recover from emergencies and disasters. And the stuff that I did while in uniform, with about 15 years of it oriented on domestic operations, really was very good preparation for this job. And I went there right after, the day after retiring from the Army. I went to work there, served as a deputy director for 4 years, learned a lot from a great mentor, Director Chris Eide. And then 4 years ago, halfway through Governor Dayton's administration, Commissioner Doman asked me if I would be the director. And it's been, hard to believe, it's already been 4 years in that position.
And you've had an exciting year this year because we have a new governor and a new commissioner.
We do. Governor Tim Walz, as everyone knows, took office the first week in January. He's a great supporter of Homeland Security and Emergency Manager. Not only is he a former National Guard non-commissioned officer and served as a battalion command sergeant major, but as a member of Congress in the U.S. House of Representatives for 12 years, he's very familiar with the issues that states face, whether it's Homeland Security and really more to our primary mission, emergency management and disaster assistance. I saw Governor Walz a couple times last summer before he was elected when he was doing some congressional visits for communities that had been impacted by floods and tornadoes. And my direct boss, Commissioner John Harrington, came in with Governor Walz as a member of his cabinet. And a lot of people in Minnesota know Commissioner Harrington. He was the chief of the St. Paul Police Department for many years. I think I met him first and worked with him back in 2008 when we were doing preparations for security for the 2008 Republican National Convention. So I've got a great leadership team above me, and I don't think we've missed a beat.
We're speaking with Director Joe Kelly, the director of Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, one of the things we talk about each year is all the preparation and planning and practice. And one of the great things is you've got a great facility up at Camp Ripley to do that. But you have opportunities during the course of the year to meet your counterparts, whether they're local government or county government, state government. And, of course, a lot of the folks from the Corps of Engineers and the Minnesota National Guard. Seems like you're still working with a lot of the people you were working with in the military.
I tell people all the time, same folks, different clothes is all. I just don't put on a uniform every day. But a lot of those relationships have been formed over a number of years, even really a number of decades. And that's critical in this business, that we don't really have a whole lot of time to get to know each other when bad things start happening. We go to those pre-existing relationships and the trust that's developed over time. So we're blessed here in Minnesota, not only with the National Guard, but some of the great federal agencies that are located here, like the Corps of Engineers that we'll talk to later in the show.
And, sir, Camp Ripley, we've talked on this show for years what a great facility that is, but it's used not just by the National Guard, but it's used by the Highway Patrol, it's used by MnDOT, and it's used by Homeland Security. And it's an opportunity for you to bring together some of the sheriffs and some of the local authorities so that you can trade business cards and get to know each other in case you're needed.
Mm-hmm. And the in case always is seems to turn into when we're needed. But, yeah, we have the Emergency Management Training Center located up at Camp Ripley. We use that as one of our primary classrooms, and we train emergency managers and law enforcement and other across the state. So with its central location, it's a great facility, and Camp Ripley always makes us feel welcome. They've got great facilities there for lodging and for dining, and they've just been great partners. And a lot of people think of Camp Ripley as a military training base, and it is one of the premier sites of that type in the country for the National Guard. But it is a great resource for the civilian side of the business, whether it's police, fire, law enforcement, hazardous materials, et cetera. So just like it was for the previous 30 years of my life, it continues to be a great resource that we use to get ready for our mission.
So, Director Kelly, one of the things that that you get to do in your position is if there's a tornado, if there's a fire, if there's a flood, if the state is requested for some help, then they come to you, and you can call on all kinds of partners to come out and provide the assistance necessary.
Yep, that's exactly right, Tom. And that's what we do out of the State Emergency Operations Center, which is located in downtown St. Paul. But we can do that virtually as well as from a physical location. But one of our primary tasks is to coordinate the request for assistance and the information flow from local authorities, and then find out who in the state or federal government is available to help them and provide them the stuff that they need when they're having their bad day.
And, sir, one of the things that stuck with me over the years as we've talked about this is that the coordination event, whoever has the trucks, whoever has the plows, whoever has what you need, goes to the problem, solves the problem, and then on the backside of it, you help with the dollars and paying for the assistance that was provided.
Yeah, we do a lot of that. We do response support, but we spend a considerable amount of time and money with what we call recovery and disaster assistance. Last year was a very busy year. We had 10 major events in this state, 8 state declarations, 2 federal, that did about $40 million worth of damage, eligible damage across Minnesota, impacting 49 counties and 4 tribal governments. So it's not a matter of if, it's a question of when and where is something going to happen in Minnesota.
So after the fact, you do a little forensic accounting and see who spent the money and where it comes from and how to get it paid back.
Exactly right, because most communities have blue sky budgets, and when they have floods, tornadoes, et cetera, they're going to need some financial help rebuilding.
Director Kelly, as we go through the show today, we're going to talk to the Minnesota National Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers and find out how they help coordinate activities in these disasters. So please stay with us. This is our annual Homeland Security Emergency Management Show on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been Director Joe Kelly from the Minnesota Homeland Security Emergency Management, and we've been talking about how that organization pulls together a lot of other agencies and groups to provide assistance when there's emergencies around Minnesota. And General, joining us now is Major Isaac Allen from the Minnesota National Guard. Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's an honor to be here. Appreciate it.
Sir, can you share with us how long have you been in the military?
Sure. I've been in just shy of 16 years. Joined shortly after the Iraq War started in 2003. I enlisted and then transitioned to ROTC and commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Military Police Corps, and have been working in a variety of positions full-time since 2006.
And I see that you served with the 55th, and so you got some really good experience over there. Can you tell us just a little bit about that organization?
Yeah, I was moved to the 55th Civil Support Team in April of 2014. I didn't really fully understand what it was their mission was at the time, but I was assigned as the operations officer and got pretty quickly integrated with what their duties and responsibilities were as far as supporting local authorities and assisting the local community with the chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear threats. It was a fantastic job, and I would say to this day probably my most favorite duty position that I've had.
Major and Director Kelly, I think we've told the story before, but we've had the 55th on. They told me a story some years ago about when they swept the Metrodome when it was full for a football game, and they found a radioactive reading, and they tracked it down to a suite, and they found a guy that had been over to the University of Minnesota and had a medical procedure the day before. So out of 55,000 people in there, you just quietly go through that facility, and you can measure that accurately. That's a 55th does a heck of a job, sir.
They really do, and that shows you the capability and the technical expertise that they bring. So every state in the country has a civil support team, and we have one of the best ones.
Yeah, and that was one of the secrets of the Minnesota National Guard. We've learned on the show, one of many. But Major, I want to come back to you. Your current position.
So currently, I'm assigned as the Joint Operations Center OIC within the Minnesota National Guard. So part of what our responsibility is working with HSEM to coordinate National Guard response efforts to the local authorities when there's an emergency or a disaster in the communities in the state.
So do you participate in some of this training that the HSEM does up at Camp Ripley?
We do. We try to send a liaison senior non-commissioned officer who attends not only those training exercises but also the regional exercises that different counties and different cities hold. We have LNOs in multiple battalions within the state who will go to those training exercises as well. So we try to spread our connection with the communities across multiple units so that they always have a face, a National Guard face, that they know who to talk to when they need our assistance.
Major, can you share with us what kind of missions does the Minnesota National Guard participate in?
So there's a variety of missions that we'll participate in. Most commonly, we participate in assisting with flood responses, wildland fire responses with their aviation capabilities, and then most recently, our winter storm response capabilities. With the winter storm that hit in the southern part of the state last weekend, we were quickly able to open 5 armories within the region. We activated 4 small unit support vehicles, which are small tracked vehicles that can go over most any terrain, and those soldiers were able to assist in rescuing nearly 200 stranded motorists, and then they sheltered just over 300 stranded motorists in the 5 armories that were open. So it was a large mission, one of the larger missions as far as winter storm response that the National Guard has done in a while. So those are a couple of the different ways that we support.
Sure. And that mission that Major Allen's talking about with those track vehicles, that was a capability that was badly needed because, as he pointed out, there were hundreds of people stranded in their cars, and civilian law enforcement didn't have the capability to get to them. They pulled the plows off the road. The only guys that could get to them were the National Guard with those track vehicles.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking today about emergencies in Minnesota that are managed by Homeland Security Emergency Management and all the partners that Director Kelly has around the state. Major, I want to come back to you for a minute. The National Guard, as opposed to active duty troops or reserve troops, actually has two missions. One is the federal mission when there you have troops that are called up and deployed to Kuwait, like the Red Bulls are over there right now. Okay. And then you have a state mission. So when things happen here at home, you have troops that live and work in Minnesota communities all over the region, and they have an opportunity, if there's a fire or a flood or a tornado, to be called up and go to work to help their neighbors.
Yes, absolutely. Every unit has the responsibility and the requirement to train for their federal mission. But as you mentioned, at the same time, we have a state and community mission that that we're responsible for. And the way that we have found best to accomplish that is we've divided our state into the same six regions that HSCM has. And within those regions, we have what we call National Guard Reaction Forces. So we've got one trained and stationed in the metro, one in the north in the Duluth area, and the one in the south area, which is around the Olivia part of the community. So those NGRFs, as we call them, are trained to assist with all of these emergencies that we've been talking about. So in addition to their federal mission, they train on the tasks that are required for them to respond to civil missions as well.
Sir, can you explain to us what's the process for requesting help from the Minnesota National Guard?
So the process is generally pretty simple. It first routes through HSCM. So a sheriff or a mayor of the city of the first class calls a state duty officer and requests the assets that they're needing in their community. The state duty officer, in turn, will call the Joint Operations Center where I work at, and we will validate that request, get the exact requirements and capabilities that they're looking for, and then route that through our adjutant general to get the mission approved, and we try to get out as soon as we can to be able to respond. And again, a great example was last weekend with the winter storm response. That mission came to fruition pretty quickly, and we were able to get boots on the ground to assist in a timely fashion.
So, Director Kelly, if an agency somewhere in Minnesota has an emergency and they want help from the state, they contact your office and everything starts from there? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep, and that's really it goes. And what Isaac is mentioning with the duty officer, that's over at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, another Department of Public Safety agency. They've got operators, if you will, standing by 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they'll get a phone call from most typically from a county sheriff, and they'll ask for help. They call me. I connected a sheriff, and then the rest unfolds like Major Allen said. The one thing that's important, I think, for the listeners to know is that for the guard to be sent on into these missions, it requires an emergency executive order signed by the governor. So he has to authorize them, put them in the service of the state. So it's not it's not something that is done casually. It's always done very deliberately and seriously because it does require the orders of the chief executive to take these men and women and put them in the service of the state. So, but we're pretty good at it. We can usually get things rolling within about 20, 30 minutes of getting that first call for help.
So on those state missions, I'm assuming that since the governor has to sign off on that's state money that pays for the troops to go out and provide the assistance.
That's correct, because the money that funds the Air and Army National Guard on a daily basis comes from the Army and the Air Force. And while those troops are accessible to the governor as the commander in chief, we then have to put them on a state funding string to do that. So that's one of the things that executive order does.
Major, it has to be rewarding to be in a position where your Minnesota National Guard troops can help their neighbors and the citizens of Minnesota.
It is extremely rewarding. I loved serving with the civil support team for that exact reason, and I love serving where I am now to be able to assist in coordinating those response efforts for the citizens across the state. It's a lot of pride and a lot of accomplishment, and I'm honored and privileged to be able to be a part of that.
Sir, if you can stay with us, we'll have a few more questions for you in the fourth segment. And Director Kelly, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Army Corps of Engineers and see how you coordinate your activities with them. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to the Homeland Security Emergency Management of Minnesota on this show today, and in a moment, we're going to have the Army Corps of Engineers on to talk about a severe winter and a lot of snow in February and the planning that's taking place around that. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Minnesota has a unique team of organizations who collaborate together to find and house homeless veterans. A key tool for these organizations is the Minnesota Homeless Veteran Registry, which helps these organizations to assist veterans who are experiencing homelessness and need access to stable housing. Participation is voluntary for veterans, and anyone can refer a veteran to join. For more information and to access referral forms, please visit Minnesota Homeless Veterans Registry page at minnesotaveteran.org. Ending veterans homelessness is a focus for Governor Walz and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I am proud of the progress the team has made, but I won't be satisfied till we're able to declare the end of veteran homelessness statewide. Anyone who knows a homeless veteran can call 1-888-LINK-VET. That's 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. My co-host for today's show has been Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. And, sir, we're going to talk now to Phil White, who is the Chief of Readiness and Operations for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District. He and his team oversee emergency operations within the district, Minnesota, Wisconsin, half of North Dakota, and personnel supporting national emergencies. So, Phil, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Now, I understand at one time in your life you were in the Marines.
I was, that's true.
But then you changed things a little bit and you went over to the Army Reserve.
So I was active duty Marine from about 1986 through 1994, got out, was a police officer. 9/11 happened, I wanted to serve again, and due to my age, the Marines, off, you know how they are, but they I ended up going in the Army Reserves.
So the Marines wouldn't let you back in, so you went over and saw the our soldiers and joined them.
Yeah, I joined. As my father, he's a veteran Army. He says, yeah, he came to the good side finally. So,
and you're still there, and you're a Master Sergeant?
I am.
And looking for that next stripe?
Hopefully.
All right. How did you get to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers?
I used to be the Director of Security for the Army Reserve Command at Fort Snelling. I then took a job as the Chief of Security for the Army Corps of Engineers, and kind of through training and education, I became the Emergency Manager here recently.
And that means for your district, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District, that you're involved in any of those emergencies, whether it's floods or fires or tornadoes or any of those things, and you coordinate your efforts with Homeland Security.
I do. That's correct.
Okay. Now we got to get to the topic du jour.
Yep.
We just set a record snow in February.
Correct.
And there's more snow coming this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Now, that usually ends up causing some trouble in our rivers and streams, and they call it flooding.
That is correct. There is this year we have a much higher probability of reaching major flooding in some localized areas in the Minnesota River Basin, parts of the Mississippi down in southeastern Minnesota, and possibly on the Red River. My office is really standing ready to support that and starting the kind of the investigation and the inspection of the areas. So we'll be able to be either better advise local communities or in working with General Kelly's staff, we can try to have a unified effort.
So does that mean you have crews out there seeing measuring how much snow we've got and trying to assess what the situation might become?
We do, and we're going to really send them out in earnest next week. And this is a real federal effort, so we really combined our efforts with the National River Forecast Center, National Weather Service, and NOAA. It's not, we just don't make those decisions in a vacuum. So we take all information available so we can give states, counties, and locals the correct information for their emergency action plans.
So the best case scenario is no more snow.
Correct.
And that we get a little thawing, freezing, so that we don't just thaw it all at once and have it run off into the...
Yeah, and that's really the change. I mean, we've had high snow water equivalency rates in our basins in this area before, but with our projected continued cold weather, that's really that kind of the piece in the algorithm to determine flooding is we're really pushing our we're not having a gradual flood. We're really pushing our past the normal floods or the normal thaw stage. So that's really kind of the thing that's causing myself and I know General Kelly's staff to do some really in-depth planning and looking at this problem.
Now, is it good or bad that this winter is kind of going longer than normal?
It's actually bad. If we had a normal melt, which would be occurring right now, then things would naturally, and the soil could absorb some of it, and it wouldn't be an immediate runoff. When we push a thaw past a normal period of time with that much water in the basin and there's no place for it to go, to elongate that process really pushes us into where we know we're going to have warmer weather, and that's where the criticality really goes up a little bit.
So, Director Kelly, it sounds like there's a lot of snow all over Minnesota, Red River Valley, southeastern Minnesota, Twin Cities. Does that complicate your efforts in the planning and coordinating with the local communities?
It does, and there's no doubt. I agree with Phil. What we're really doing is we are compressing. We are going to shorten the window for the thaw, and you combine that with the amount of snow that's out there and what's predicted. And I can tell you that the local emergency managers at the county and city and tribal levels, especially those that have been around for a while, are saying, hey, this is not looking real good. I don't want to say that we're due, but we haven't had a kind of a traditional spring flood since 2011. And the conditions are lining up that, depending on how things break with precipitation and temperatures, so it's making it complicated. There's a lot of people paying attention to what's going on right now with frost depths and snow depths and river levels.
We're talking Homeland Security Emergency Management today on Minnesota Military Radio. Phil, I want to come back to you. I saw an article in the paper just this last week that said that the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been drawing down its reservoirs in the Red River Basin, North Basin. Is this just an attempt to try to be prepared to accept as much of the water as possible?
It is, and our water regulators and our hydrologists, we operate our water control structures off of an existing manual. But in this year, you know, understanding the amount of snow water equivalent and moisture that is out there, we're really trying to bring all of our reservoirs down, not just in the Red River Basin, but also in others.
Director Kelly, what's going to be the process if we get the worst case scenario and the snow melts before the frost is out of the ground? You're going to have people calling you from all over the state. Where do you start? How do you respond, and who do you call in for help?
Well, it all starts at the local level. In our business, we say all incidents, all emergencies, all disasters are local. So the first line troops, if you will, are those local first responders and public works directors and emergency managers. And we will do our best to keep an eye on and understand what's happening in the communities. When requests for assistance from the state and or the federal government start rolling in, we'll activate that state emergency operations center that we have in downtown St. Paul and figure out how to get the help to the local communities that need it. But I hope people understand and appreciate their local folks who are out there watching this, and they'll be the first responders for a flood event, and we'll help them when we need them. And when we need help from our friends from the federal government, we know we can count on the Corps of Engineers and the Federal Emergency Management Agency and others.
Sir, what can the local communities and our citizens do to be prepared for spring flooding if and when it comes?
Well, I think the most important thing, and we could do a whole nother show on this, the most important thing a lot of people can do is take a look at their insurance coverage. They need to have National Flood Insurance Program coverage if they want to be protected from floodwaters. The important thing for people to know is that has to be in effect 30 days before you suffer any damage. But more simply than that, most of the flood damage, water damage we saw last summer was caused by sewer backups and sump pump failures. And that kind of insurance is available to everybody through their homeowner's insurance. The problem is it's not always included, and it often has to be added as a rider. So we ask people to contact their insurance agents and make sure, if nothing else, that they have that sewer backup and water overflow coverage. Otherwise, no one's going to be able to help them with the water damage. And in Minnesota, we know that what happens when you get 6 inches of water in your basement, it adds up fast.
So for all our listeners out there, first thing you do next Monday morning, give your insurance agent a call and ask them if you've got insurance against the bad things that can happen from a rapid spring thaw. Hope it doesn't happen, but call your insurance agent. Make sure you've got the coverage you need to get. Phil, any final thoughts from the Corps of Engineers?
Just let you know that the Army Corps of Engineers stands ready to support state and local communities. It's one of our main charters. the St. Paul District stands ready to support state and local communities in any future flooding.
All right. I hope you get the right weather and that it comes down the way that it softens the effect of the spring flooding. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to have more with Homeland Security Emergency Management when we come back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, Major Isaac Allen from the Minnesota National Guard, and Phil White from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers about all the planning and coordination that happens for emergencies and events. And Major, I want to come to you. We've got a big event coming up in the Twin Cities, the NCAA Men's Final Four. Is your old unit involved in that?
Yes, sir. My old unit will be involved in that. The 55th CST, much like they work in support of the Minneapolis Bomb Squad and other local first responder agencies for Vikings games and Gophers games, they will be doing the same mission for the Final Four in April. So they'll be out there. You might not see them because they tend to blend in pretty well, but they'll be doing their job. As you discussed earlier, years ago, they were able to locate a radiological source out of 55,000 people in the Metrodome. So they'll be there with their equipment, conducting passive air monitoring for biological threats and chemical threats, as well as with their radiological detectors, and working along with local law enforcement to ensure a safe environment for the fans that will be attending that event.
For all those fans, then, that are going to the NCAA Men's Final Four, they should feel comfortable and feel good knowing the Minnesota National Guard's already been there and they're protecting them.
They should be. They should be able to show up and have a great time and hopefully watch some good basketball in a safe and friendly environment.
Thank you, sir. Phil, I want to come back to you. How important is it for the Army Corps of Engineers to do all of this planning and training with all the various agencies around the state?
Well, we can't do our job without that kind of liaison. You know, our General Kaiser, he always says, make that contact before it's an emergency. So it's really important for us to get out there and build relationships and not just have a phone number and email. We want to know the person and the communities that we're going to be dealing with. So we without building that relationship, it's not going to happen during an event. And if you don't have the relationship, it's really not going to go that smoothly.
So that gives you some confidence that when you're called upon, you know who your counterpart is and you can get the job done.
Exactly.
Very good. Thank you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
And Director Kelly, I'm going to come back to you. We always, I think it's a habit now, after a few years, we always end the show with something that's called See Something, Say Something. It's a big campaign, and I think it's pretty important. Can you explain it?
I sure can, Tom. And it is a good habit to have, because that's a habit that we want the people we serve, the citizens of Minnesota, to think of as a habit. And that is that if they see something that looks out of place, if they see something that looks wrong, an unattended backpack, a suspicious vehicle in their neighborhood, that they take the action, they take the responsibility to call local law enforcement and have them check it out. There are untold stories about bad things that are avoided because a citizen reported something that they saw that just didn't look right, and law enforcement followed up. People should never feel like, well, there's an unattended backpack at the airport, but someone else will tell the TSA or the airport police. That's all our responsibility. We can't emphasize it enough that if you see something, say something. My boss, Commissioner John Harrington, when he left St. Paul and then did a tour in the state Senate, after that he became the Met Transit Police Chief. So he knows about buses and airports and trains, and he is a big proponent to see something, say something. We just need people to keep their eyes open, because they know what doesn't look right in their communities, and they really are that first line of defense for us all.
So if you do see something, don't be afraid to call the local sheriff or the local police department and say, this just doesn't look right, and I just want to share it with you.
You'll never be criticized. You'll never be embarrassed, and you'll be thanked whether it turns out to be nothing at all. But there are lots of times those turn to be very valuable tips. So, yeah, don't hesitate. Law enforcement wants you to contact them with that information. So, please, when you see something, say something.
And, Director, the message that I think I've learned today is all of these emergencies, all of these incidents are local. And if it's the local sheriff or the local police department and they've got a problem, they need some help, then they call the state of Minnesota, and then you go out and try to find the appropriate response to help them with whatever's going on.
That's exactly right. And I think we should all be thankful for our local officials, whether they're the elected officials, the law enforcement, fire service, emergency medical, emergency managers, public works. Because in Minnesota, we really are blessed. Those guys do a, they do a great job, and we are always happy to help them when it gets something that's beyond their capability.
Director, thanks for joining me again this year. I don't know where the years fly by year after year, but
they really do fly by. I was just about to say, see you next year, Tommy.
I'll be here, sir. We'll do this again. Thanks, gentlemen. That was Joe Kelly from the Minnesota Department of Homeland Security, Major Isaac Allen from the Minnesota National Guard, and Phil White from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be with you again. I'm excited to talk to you. It's been a while. It seems like it's been a while, anyway.
Well, with your travel schedule, we have to wake up and say, okay, what day is this and where am I?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the great thing is I've got great people taking care of me to help me keep me on track as well.
And a lot of different things to keep track of, including Women's History Month.
Yeah, it is. This month we celebrate Women's History Month. And what we're doing inside of the Minnesota National Guard is we're highlighting different women service members inside of our organization, women that have served previously, and we're highlighting all of them on our different social media platforms. So I would just recommend to the listening audience to go out and check out the Minnesota National Guard's webpage, the Facebook, the Twitter, the different platforms, so that they can see and actually read about the different things that women are doing inside of our organization. Because as we've talked about before, they make up a good percentage of our service members, and they are doing great things, and we ought to recognize them properly for doing so.
Very good, sir. And for our listeners out there, the Command Sergeant Major is a soldier, and you've been spending some time with some airmen.
Yeah, I sure have. As a matter of fact, we just had the great honor of recognizing our Outstanding Airman of the Year winners. And this is competition that's done at each of the two wings, one in St. Paul, one up in Duluth. And then those winners come and compete at the state level. And we select five different airmen out of five different categories to represent the state as they move on to the region competition. So this year, real quick, we've been able to name in the company grade officer of the year category, Captain Christopher Ziegler. Our first sergeant of the year is Senior Master Sergeant Jeffrey Pinger. The senior non-commissioned officer of the year is Master Sergeant Mark Jurakovich. The non-commissioned officer of the year is Master Sergeant Robert Fry, and our airman of the year is Senior Airman Shane Stedgy. And they've just done great things for our organization. They're going to be great leaders for us, have been great leaders for us, and we expect to continue to see great things out of them in years to come.
Sergeant Major, as an old airman, I'm glad to see you spending some time with the 148th and 133rd.
Yeah, you know what? And this year, you'll appreciate this, Tom. The 148th actually did really, really well. They took four of the five categories this year. So competition is getting really, really tight. We don't just hand these awards out, this recognition out. They have to earn it. And these five certainly did earn their recognition.
And I understand there's a little competition coming up on the Army side.
Yes, we're getting prepared for it. The first week of April, we'll start our competition for the Army up at Camp Ripley. And we do things just a little bit different. We're going to have about 4 days of physical competition to include, of course, a road march and some weapons things. And we'll talk about all that probably next month after we get deep into it and we find out who our winners are of the Army competition. But first week of April up at Camp Ripley.
Love it when I hear their soldiers are out on a ruck march.
Yeah, and it's only 12 miles.
We didn't do that in the air sight, sir.
For that.
Now, I understand that we just finished the 46th Norway Exchange, and you and the Adjutant General traveled to Norway.
Yeah, we did. And, 46 years with the Norwegian Exchange, and this is just such a great opportunity for our soldiers and airmen to participate in. And the Adjutant General and I try to get to Norway each year during the exchange, of course, to see our soldiers and airmen, but also to recognize our partner, that being our Norwegian partners, soldiers over there, and just thank them for their continued support and the fact that they are just gracious hosts. So the Adjutant General and I went over for the farewell banquet and look forward to NORWEX 47, which next year will be moved to the right just a little bit. It'll actually be in about the April timeframe, and we're going to take the training a little further north in Norway. So we're really looking forward to that, and we appreciate everything they do for us over there.
Well, we were fortunate to go over there a couple years ago. Maybe we'll get over there one more time.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. And, of course, everybody's want to get there to visit next year to see this new training location. And I hear the Northern Lights are just fantastic.
Sergeant Major, just got a few seconds left. I understand that one of your really valuable Chief Master Sergeants, Command Chief Master Sergeant Kessler, is retiring.
Yeah, he's retiring in May, and we're starting the process right now to go through his backfill. We're looking forward to honoring him and his service and finding the right person to backfill him, and we should be able to make that announcement the next time you and I talk, Tom.
Well, if you can't find enough good airmen for that, let me know, and maybe you can drag me back into the Air National Guard one more time.
Well, we'll start the paperwork, and we'll get you in reserve and ready to go just in case. How's that sound?
I'm not going to hold my breath. Thank you, Sergeant Major.
Have a great day. Thanks, Tom.
That was Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. We have two mentions today. For all our veterans out there, don't forget to attend Veterans Day on the Hill 2019. It's going to be held on March 20th, 2019. You can find information on that at davmn.org, March 20th, 2019. Need to get down to the Capitol and talk to your state elected officials. And the 12th annual Veterans Day, Vietnam Veterans Day program will be held on Sunday, March 31st at the American Legion Post 225 in Forest Lake at 2 p.m. The topic this year is what it was the importance and risk of infantry point man during the Vietnam War. A $500 scholarship will be given to the winning essay. This is a free event, open to the public. Once again, 12th annual Vietnam Veterans Day program, Sunday, March 31st at the American Legion Post in Forest Lake. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. My co-host, Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, Major Isaac Allen from the Minnesota National Guard, Phil White from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs and check in with Minnesota's Paralyzed Veterans of America. That's coming up next weekend on this station or on time anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.